days will be found in the first book of Kings, chapter 11, 12, and 13. We left off speaking to you last Sunday afternoon about King Solomon and the sins that he fell into. How this wise and rich man departed from God. How that his wives turned his heart away from the God of Israel. And how that this man Solomon, in his latter years, served idols, even had idol temples built so that his wives could worship these idols. How far can it go with a person, a man gifted with wisdom and understanding, as this man was, to sink so low and to be carried away so by his sin and idolatry? And we find God was angry with this man, Solomon. God came to him and spake unto him that because he had not obeyed what he had commanded him to do and had not walked as his father David had, that he likewise would visit him and Israel for their sins. But because David had walked before him in truth, he would not do it while Solomon lived. He threatened then to take away 10 of the tribes of this great king and give them to a servant of his, but he would leave 2 tribes for David so that he would have a light always in Jerusalem. And now God raised up 3 men that were adversaries to Solomon while he lived, Hadad, Rizon, and also Jeroboam. What these adversaries did, we cannot seem to find out. But anyway, they seem to be troublers to Solomon. And this particular man by the name of Jeroboam, he was the son of a widow woman, and he was a mighty man of valor. He was industrious, and Solomon, seeing him, he set him over the house of Joseph. And now this young man, Jeroboam, he's going out of the city of Jerusalem one day, and a prophet meets him by the name of Ahijah. Now this prophet had put on himself a new garment. And when he met this man, Jeroboam, he took hold of the garment that he had upon him, and he tore it into 12 pieces. And he gave 10 of the pieces unto Jeroboam, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God, I will rend the kingdom out of Solomon's hand, out of his son's hand, because they have left me, they have forsaken me, and they are worshiping Ashtoreth and Molech, the gods of heathen countries. And therefore, God will make you king over the 10 tribes. And when Solomon is dead, this shall certainly take place. And now this young man, Jeroboam, it appears he must have been talking about what this prophet had said to him, and it came to the ears of Solomon. And when Solomon heard that this prophet had prophesied this, he sought to kill this young man, Jeroboam. It seems that Solomon did not think about what he had preached about and what he had taught himself, for he had taught so constantly that the counsel of the Lord shall stand and he shall do all his pleasure. And now if it was the pleasure of God that this man was to be king over 10 tribes, it would be an impossibility for Solomon to kill him because God was going to fulfill his word and keep it. But he sought to kill him. And therefore Jeroboam, he fled and he went into the land of Egypt. And he remained there until the death of Solomon. And now Solomon, he reigned over Israel 40 years, just as David did. And finally Solomon died. This great king, as I said last week, he came to repentance. Although we do not read of it, but we have good fundamental reasons to believe when we read Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, that he truly was sorry for the sins that he had fell into, and that he was recovered from this, and finally he died. We do not read too much about his death, as David, his father, died, He was on the deathbed, and he was able to speak unto his sons and to his children. But Solomon, no. It's just related that Solomon died, and Rehoboam, his son, became king in his stead. Rehoboam, he was 41 years of age, and he was taken to Shechem to become king over Israel. And now they anointed him to be king, and we find that all Israel was gathered unto him. When Solomon died, word was sent to Jeroboam in the land of Egypt that Solomon was dead. And he came back to Israel, and these Israelites, they gathered behind Jeroboam and went to Rehoboam and spake unto him and said unto him, "Now listen, if you'll take away the grievous yoke of servitude that thy father laid upon us and make it easier for us, and then we will become thy servants forever." Now this that they brought unto Rehoboam does not seem to be true, because when Solomon lived, he was a rich king, and there was so much gold that silver was not even accounted for. And the Israelites, they all lived in peace and happiness. The buildings that Solomon had built, they were built by the Canaanites and not by the Israelites. So the Israelites, they were not servants or slaves to Solomon. But it could be at the end of his life, where he had so many wives, and where he tried to keep up the life that he was living, it probably was that he put a tax upon the people to keep going the way he was living. And therefore they requested him to take away this particular servitude that he had laid upon them. And now this young man, Rehoboam, he gave them 3 days. He says, "Come back in 3 days and I will give you my answer." And we find that Rehoboam consulted with the old men that were with his father Solomon. And he asked them what advice he should give to these people that had come to him and had requested him that he would lift this servitude off them. These old men that stood by Solomon his father gave him good advice. They advised him that he should speak peaceably to these people, and that he should treat them kindly, and then they would be his servants forever. But he turned away from the advice of these elderly men, and he went to the young men that had grown up with him, and he asked them what he should do with these people that had come with this request. And these young men, they gave him an altogether different advice. They advised him to lay more upon the people, where his father had treated them and brought such trouble upon them as if he had whipped them. He should treat them worse yet, so that they would be treated as scorpions. And now, instead of listening to the advice of the elderly men, he listened to the advice of these younger men. We have here a lesson, my hearers. Rehoboam, he had a problem. And we do not read that Rehoboam went to God with his problem. He did not consult and ask him what he should do, but he first consulted the elderly men, and then he turned to the younger men. How many of you have had problems in your life? You've been probably in trouble, and you knew which way to turn. What did you do? Did you first go to God? Be honest. Do we not all turn to man first? Do we not run to this one or that one with our troubles and ask them for advice instead of going to God? And whose advice do we take most of the time? Advice that leads us away from God and from his truth. This Rehoboam, he listened to the young men. And the third day when these people came back, why, he answered them so instantly, and he rebuked them so. His voice was in anger, and he spake to these people, that he would treat them worse than what his father had treated them. And now Rehoboam, with these Israelites, they became angry, and they immediately departed from Rehoboam. That very day there was a split amongst the 12 tribes, according to the prophecy of Ahijah, who had said that this would take place. And these people, they said, "What portion have we in David anymore? To your tents, O Israel." And 10 of the tribes departed from under the reign and government of Rehoboam. And now it appears that Rehoboam was still in Shechem when they brought to him these questions. And he, Rehoboam, he sent Adoram, a man who probably gathered the taxes, who was over the tribute, to these people to gather what he had demanded of them. And when this man came, they stoned him to death. They killed him. And when Rehoboam seen that this took place, he immediately got into his chariot and he returned back to Jerusalem. And when he came into Jerusalem, we find that he gathered an army together of 184,000 valiant men to go to war against the Israelites, to get the kingdom back to himself. But God raised up a prophet by the name of Shemaiah, and he came to these people and told them that they should not make war against their brethren, the Israelites, because this was of God, and God had rent these tribes asunder. And behold, the people listened to the prophet. It's a marvel to me that they did. I think many lives were spared by listening to this prophet. For had there been a war, there would have been such terrible slaughter. But the people listened to this prophet, and they did not go to fight against the Israelites. And there we find these tribes rent apart. Two of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, remained faithful to Rehoboam, but the other 10 tribes, they were under the government of Jeroboam. And now God had promised by the mouth of Ahijah to Jeroboam that if he would walk in the ways of David and do his commandments and his judgments, then God would be with him and he would set him over all Israel. But now Jeroboam, he is made king over these 10 tribes, and we find him in Shechem. He makes this place his residence, his capital, and there he is contemplating what is going to happen to these people who he is ruling over. He considers that these people were accustomed to go up to Jerusalem to worship God, because God had instituted the worship there. God had come down when they had dedicated the temple, manifested his presence there, and this was the place where these people were to go to worship. And now he considered and thought, if these people go up to Jerusalem to worship God as they always did, then they will depart from me, and they will go back to Rehoboam in due time. He thought they'll kill me, and then I'll lose my position as king, and then Rehoboam will be king over all the tribes. Now this man, Jeroboam, he had no fear of God in his heart. For had he only but listened to what this prophet had said, then all would have went well. Had he commanded Israel to go up to Jerusalem to worship God, and had he went himself, he would have been walking in the ways of God, but he did not. He was afraid that he would be killed and the people would go back under the ruling of Rehoboam. And there he is contemplating what to do. And while he's contemplating, the devil comes in by him. That's what I say. And the devil teaches him to set up an altogether different system of religion. He erects 2 golden calves. He puts one in Dan and one in Bethel. And he commands these Israelites that these were the gods that had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, and that they should go to worship them. He instituted then idolatry. Not only did he erect these golden calves, But he likewise set up priests. Anyone that wanted to become a priest out of the tribes of Israel could become priest, contrary to what God had commanded, that he had chosen the Levitical tribe to the priesthood, and they only were to be the priest. But he chose anybody. If they came with some lambs and some bread, why, they were eligible to become priests. And now these priests that were formerly serving God and offering up sacrifices, they turned away from these idolatrous worship, and they went back to Jerusalem to live. But we find Jeroboam commanding the people to worship these golden images that he had raised up in these particular places. And he was wise in this respect, for he built one in Bethel and he built one in Dan. As you know, in Bethel, God had appeared unto Jacob, and there Jacob had a meeting with God. He seen above the ladder the God of heaven and of earth, and he had called this place Bethel. Now, this was none other but the house of God. How wise was Jeroboam in erecting this idol in this particular place? For the people knew that God had appeared there too. And so it is, my hearers, even to this day, where God has appeared sometimes and visited marvelously and done wonders to saints. Today, many people, they resort by train, by boat to these places. The devil sends them to these places, and they hear of visions and signs and tokens that are being used to bring these people to these places. This is what likewise Jeroboam did. He was wise in erecting this idol in this particular place. He erected one in Dan likewise. In this particular place, we find Abraham. He had defeated that king, Chedorlaomer. And there likewise, he put this idol, and the people went to worship before it, and it became a sin unto Israel because they bowed towards these images. Oh, this man Jeroboam, oh, what an awful creature he was. He turned the people away from the true worship of God, and he instituted a worship of his own. He likewise set a day in the eighth month, the 15th day, for the Israelites to come up to worship and have a feast, contrary to the day that God had set, which was the 15th day of the seventh month. This man devised this all out of his own heart and out of his own brain, the devil helping him. My hearers, you've been listening to me, haven't you? You know, today, not only today, but all so many people who have been under the truth as it is in Jesus, who have been born and bred up under it, or they become angry with some simple thing sometimes. Or they can't listen anymore to that truth. And away they go. Or they go under something that somebody else has instituted, somebody has manufactured in their own brains. Oh, the devil, my hearers, he is the instigator of all idolatry. He has the heathens worshiping the sun, the moon, the stars. He has the Catholics. What do they worship? They worship Mary. They worship the wafer. They bow down before images. They have crosses hanging on their necks. My hearers, what do Protestants worship? Oh, so many. They have a form of godliness but lack the power thereof. So many worship that idol, free will. And so many the devil works upon, my hearers, to get them away from the truth as it is in Christ. Or he tells them inside, you don't have to be so strict. You don't have to live so close. Oh, don't listen to that truth. You can worship God anywhere. God is to be worshipped no matter where you go. And how many people listen to these voices? How many people depart from the living God and from the truth under which they have been born and brought up under? Oh, same as this man Jeroboam, he led them away from Jerusalem, where God was and where God manifested his presence, So the devil, he puts up a cry against wherever Jesus is, wherever the true religion is, wherever God does anything to the souls of sinners, the devil will try to get people away from it. Oh, my hearers, shouldn't we be thankful? Shouldn't we bow in reverence before God that we have not yet been led away to listen to damnable heresies? Oh, how many people in our days have itching ears, and they listen to these creatures that get up on a pulpit and try to teach other people who have never had an experimental knowledge of Christ in their own hearts. Oh, the blind, they lead the blind, and they both fall into the ditch. Oh, may we be thankful that God gives unto us yet the truth in all its purity. Oh, may we love it. May we live it. May we practice it. Oh, God helping us, may he keep us by it, that we may not depart from it, my hearers. And now this man, Jeroboam, he's reigning over these 10 tribes, and we find in the next chapter that God comes to him. This king, he not only is king, but he acts like a priest. We find him coming to the altar, and he's burning incense, and he's sacrificing upon this altar that he has erected. And when he's doing this, God sends a man to him to speak unto him. God sent a man of God out of the tribe of Judah. He didn't take anybody out of the 10 tribes that he had, but he sent somebody out of the tribe of Judah. He's called the man of God. He's speaking then unto Jeroboam and to the people that are gathered around this altar. Jeroboam is in the act of performing the work of a priest, and this man comes and speaks, and he prophesies, and he says, O altar, altar, there shall be a child born out of the house of David by the name of Josiah, and he shall take the priests that offer incense and burn them upon this altar, and men's bones shall be burned upon this. Here we have a prediction which took place 300 years later, my hearers. Oh, you see, God knows everything. God knows who's going to be born. God knows the name that person's going to have. God knows where that person's going to live, what his occupation is going to be. 350 years before Josiah was born, this man prophesied that he would be born and what would take place. All we have to do with a wonderful God, my hearers. Do you know this God? He knows you. Just as he knew that Josiah would be born, he knows you. And this prophecy you may read in the second book of Kings, the 17th chapter, how that it was fulfilled when Josiah was born. All his word shall stand, not one jot or tittle shall fall to the ground. Whether you believe it or I believe it, God shall keep his word. Oh, what a mercy this is. Has he ever spoken a word to you? Has he ever comforted you in this life? Has he ever come to you and given you an encouragement that you would be saved, that he would reveal his dear son, Jesus, in you? Have you ever been in misery, in the depths of sin and guilt, and he came to you and spoke to you and lifted you up out of it? Oh, if you have such a word, such a promise, that word most certainly shall be fulfilled. God does not lie, but he keeps his truth. He kept it in this respect, and it was fulfilled in due time. And now while this man of God was prophesying in the front of this altar, he was speaking against Jeroboam and against the people and against the idolatrous worship that they were having. And my hearers, God still sends men, his own men, to warn and admonish people who go on in their trespasses and who go on in their sins. Oh, how often God speaks to creatures while they are in the midst of sinning against him. The warning comes to them sometimes in their conscience. Sometimes God speaks very loudly that way. Sometimes he speaks by afflicting that person. Oh, sometimes God uses his messengers, his servants. They cry aloud unto us that we should not go on in our sins. Turn ye from your evil ways. Wherefore would ye die? You ever hear that voice? Has it ever come to you, my hearers? What have you done with it? Did you do like Jeroboam did? What did he do with it? He didn't even listen to it. But the warning came to him, and in the midst of this, my hearers, what took place? And when he heard this man of God prophesying like that, he stretched out his hand to take hold of him. And when he stretched out his hand, God smote him. God made his hand wither. He couldn't take his hand back again. Oh, what a wonderful thing this was. Does God still do that, my hearers? Oh, yes. Sometimes in the midst of your sins, God speaks. Sometimes a person loses an eye. Sometimes he loses an eye. Sometimes he loses a leg. In the midst of his sins. Yes, and sometimes God takes a person away, right in the midst of what he is doing. Or he speaks them very powerfully, my hearers. If we only had eyes to see and to take notice of the voice of God when he warns and speaks to sinners that they shouldn't go on in their trespasses. And what did this man do? This Jeroboam. There he was, his arm was withered. He couldn't touch this man of God. Oh, you can't touch any of your children of God. You touch them, you touch the apple of his eye. He couldn't do anything to this man. And there he stood with his hand withered. And then this king, instead of becoming an aggressor, he became a supplicator. He turned around and he begs this man. And he says, oh, entreat the Lord your God that my hand might be restored. And this man of God, he prays to God. And God hears him. And the king's hand is restored. Oh, how wonderful this was. You see, Jeroboam, he knew who had struck him. He knew the reason why. Oh, he knew who to go to, too. And God was so good as to restore his hand. Has God ever afflicted you, my hearers? Have you ever been sick? Have you ever been nigh to death's door? Has God been speaking to you in that way? May be that he afflicted your body and it looked like you never would get better anymore. And what did you do? It may be that you entreated one of God's children, one of his servants, to pray for you. And they came and they offered up prayer. And God was so good as to restore you. Oh, you were made whole again. Beyond expectation, you were brought from the edge of the grave. Oh, you had so many reasons to thank God then. And now, where is it today? Has this happened in your life? What has it left in your life? Has it left just like you by Jeroboam? What did he do? Well, my hearers, he had many reasons to thank God, but he did not. He wanted to thank this man. He asked this man to go along with him to his home, to eat bread and to drink water with him. He wanted to reward this man of God. You know that's the same way today? Oh, you would like to reward somebody. We forget that in him we live, move, and have our being. Or we don't go to him who has smitten us and who has restored us. Or we would like to reward somebody. That's what Jeroboam wanted to do. He wanted to reward this man of God for what he had done. But this man of God said, the Lord has said unto me that I cannot eat bread here or drink water, and that I am not to return the same way that I came, but I am to go back another way. If you wanted to give me half of your kingdom, he says, I wouldn't do it. You know, it would have probably been a good thing if he had went to the king's palace. He would have had an opportunity to warn this king against his sins, but God decreed otherwise. He was not to go to him. And now we find that this man of God, he turned away from this particular place. And Jeroboam, he continued on. Did he break down these altars? Did he say, well, that's proof enough that I'm doing wrong? Or I'll tell the people to go back to Jerusalem and worship God in the right way? No. He still went on with his idolatry. Ah, my hearers, that's proof. Proof No matter what may happen to you, God may take your arm off, he may take your leg off, or he may do so many things to you, and if he don't sanctify it by his Holy Spirit to your soul, you remain what you are and you go on in your sins. Proof enough here with Jeroboam. All my hearers, God must change our hearts and change our lives by the almighty power of his Spirit, or we remain what we are, regardless of what we go through in this life. And now this man of God, he turned away from this altar, and he had given likewise a sign. He had said that this altar would be rent, and the ashes thereupon would roll out. And God did this, my hearers. I forgot to bring this in, but this took place immediately when he spoke that. And that's why that king stuck his hand out to take hold of him. You know, God speaks sometimes by his word. He speaks also with visible signs many times. And so he spake here by his word and by a visible sign unto these people and unto Jeroboam. And now we find that this man of God, he goes back a different way. And there were three sons of a prophet that had seen this and had heard all this. And they came back to the town where they lived, and they told their father, who was an old prophet, what had taken place. And when he found out that this man of God had went this way, he requested his sons to saddle an ass, and he got on the ass, and he went after this man of God. And he found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, "Art thou the man of God that came up out of Judah?" He said, "I am." He says, "Come back with me and eat bread and water in my house." "No," he says, "God has told me that I should not go back, nor eat bread, nor drink water in that place." "Yeah, but," he says, "an angel of God came to me. I'm a prophet too, and this angel told me to go after you and bring you back." So he went back with this man. This prophet was a lying prophet. He came from the schools of prophets that were in Samaria. And he cocked up this lie and he told that to this man. Now, this man was disobedient to the divine command. You know, if God tells you something, my hearers, you listen to God. Don't listen to people. No matter if they do come in God's name to you and say, "So-and-so, God said to me, this is what you should do," you listen to God first. You'll never be deceived then. But this poor man, he listened to this lying prophet. He should have said to him, "Listen, God told me I shouldn't do this, and God should speak to me first, and then I'll obey you. Otherwise, I'm not going to go back." But he went back. And he went back with him, and he sat down to eat bread and water. And while they were sitting there eating, this old prophet, he was used by God to tell him that he had been disobedient to the divine command, and that he, when he left there, he would be smitten by a lion and he would die. And we find that this man of God, he left this particular house and he went away. And when he was on the way, there came a lion and killed him. And people came by and they seen this man laying there, and they seen the ass that he had been riding on standing there, and they seen the lion standing there. And they came back to the town, and they told this in the town, and got to this old prophet. "Oh," he says, "that's the man of God." And he saddled his ass, and he went out after him. And when he came there, he found it just the way it was. There was the lion, there was the donkey, and there was this man's carcass laying on the ground, dead. A miracle, isn't it? Why didn't the lion eat the man? Why didn't he take hold of the ass? He didn't. A miracle of God in the preservation of this man of God who had been disobedient to his divine command. And when this prophet came with his ass, the lion didn't attack him either. When he took hold of the body and he brought it back, nothing was done. See how God protects even the bodies of his saints even after they have passed away. How wonderful God is in this respect. And this old prophet, he brought this body of this prophet home, this man of God, and he buried him in his own grave. And he told his sons, "Now when I die," he says, "put me in the same grave, because," he says, "this man has prophesied that this altar will be rent, and that men's bones shall be burned thereon, and that prophecy shall surely take place. And then we find, my hearers, that after all this, Jeroboam did not turn away from his sins, but he continued on in serving these idols and having the people sinning against God. You know, when God speaks, sometimes he comes again. God comes again to Jeroboam. Once isn't enough, God comes again. How does God come now? He had a son by the name of Abijam. And behold, this son, he was a youth, but in the midst of this house of idolatry, God had come into the heart of this youth. God had put his spear in his soul. There was one in the house of Jeroboam that loved God and feared him. How wonderful is God in his sovereignty and his grace. How miraculous is he in his pouring out his spirit into the hearts of sinners, where you would think you would never find it. There God comes. He came into the heart of this young man. And now this young man, he didn't go along with his parents and worshiping these idols, all no. He probably testified against it. But he was a quiet and a reserved young man, the commentary says. And he was so loved by his parents. But he fell sick. And he got so sick that it didn't seem as if he was going to get better. Oh, they were so concerned about this young man who was so sick. You ever have anybody sick in your home? Maybe you had your wife sick. Maybe you had your husband sick. Maybe you had one of your children sick. You know, when God does that, he strikes deep. It cuts deep. I know. I've had it in my own life. Oh, he touches our flesh, and that hurts, my hearers. And that hurt by Jeroboam and his wife. And now when they seen this young man not getting any better, did they get down on their knees? Did they begin to pray and ask God that he would make their child better? No, my hearers. No fear of God in Jeroboam. No knowledge of God. One thing he knew, that there was a prophet, and he was a prophet of God because he had told him he was going to be king. And now when the child didn't get any better and it got worse, he says to his wife, disguise yourself. Don't let anybody know that you're the wife of Jeroboam. And go to this prophet who told me that I was going to be king. Take a present with you and find out of him what's going to happen to our child. He didn't send his wife to this prophet and ask this prophet if he wouldn't pray that this child would be restored. No. He just sent his wife just like a lot of people do. You know, a lot of people, they run to fortune tellers. They want to know what's going to happen beforehand. A lot of people, they run to this and to that. You know, there are so many cures in the world for this and for that. And they take this up, and they go to this, and they go to that. Have you ever done that? You know, a lot of people, they have something, what they call a charm, hanging around their neck or around their arm. And they think that that charm can preserve them. And they resort to this, and they resort to that when they are in trouble, but not to God. That was just like Jeroboam. He resorted to this prophet, not to pray, not to ask God to restore him, but to find out what was going to happen to him. And Jeroboam's wife, she disguised herself, she put on other attire, and she went. And now this prophet, he was old. His eyes were set. He was kind of blind. He couldn't see the people anymore or distinguish who they were. Proof, my hearers. You get old, you need glasses, pretty soon it gets so that you can't see hardly anymore. So it was with this prophet. But now this prophet, he couldn't see too good with his eyes, but God gave him visions in his soul. Oh, he had the visions of the Almighty. You're far better off with them, my hearers, even if you do lose the sight of your eyes. Then you're well off for eternity if God visits you and comes down into your heart. And God came to this prophet before this woman got there. And he says, the wife of Jeroboam is coming to you to ask you of a matter concerning her son. But thus and thus shalt thou say unto his wife. God gave him a message to speak unto this woman who was coming to inquire what would happen with their child. And when this woman came to the door, my hearers, and when her footsteps sounded on the threshold of the door, this prophet, he spake. Why feignest thou thyself to be another woman for thy wife of Jeroboam? He knew her, because God had made known what was going to take place. He says, I have heavy tidings for you. Oh, he had a message of God for this woman. It was a message that was to tell her and her husband that their house would be destroyed, that not one of them, except this young man, would come to the grave in peace, and that all the others would be slain and would be eaten by the fowls of the air. Oh, God was angry with this man, Jeroboam. And this was the denunciation that he put into the mouth of this Ahijah, and he had to speak unto this woman, Jeroboam's wife. And he said unto her, he says, this son will die, and he only of the house of Jeroboam shall come to the grave in peace, because there was found some good thing in him towards the Lord God of Israel. My hearers, my time is gone. I do like to continue. I would like to speak to you about what that good thing was in that young man. I wish that you'd had some of it. Oh, I have an abundance of matter to talk this afternoon. And may God bless the feeble lesson that you heard this afternoon. Can't continue any longer. But oh, that God may put something in your heart. And then when you come to die, whether you're young or whether you're old, that you may have something that God will take care of. And when you come to be raised up again in the day of resurrection, and then he will notice that good part that he had put in you. That good part will never, never die away. It remaineth forever. That's all for today.